Monday, January 31st. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, perhaps the biggest news story of last week was the announcement that Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer has decided to retire at the end of the current Supreme Court term.
As we look at this from a biblical world and life view, that the announcement that was made by Biden both in his campaign and in his opening months, that when he gets the opportunity to appoint a Supreme Court justice, and I quote him, that appointment will be an African-American and a woman. I bring that up not because an appropriate candidate would not be found with that demographic. I bring that up because it's illegal to do that. And the Supreme Court has declared it illegal to do that. You are not allowed to hire based upon gender and ethnicity. Yet the Supreme Court that has affirmed these title rights regulations as constitutional now is going to allow the President of the United States to blatantly violate that. As we go back and read his speech on this matter, he only gave two markers for who he was going to nominate, gender and ethnicity. And the issue is not the gender and the ethnicity. The issue is that's illegal. If you ran an ad saying, I'm going to hire someone who's black, I'm going to hire someone who is white, I'm going to hire a male, I'm going to hire a female, that would be unconstitutional, and you could be subject for lawsuits. Yet the president is now profiling his nomination, his proposed hire, by that. You know, Tom, one of the great criticisms of the Supreme Court liberal justice or activist justices was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was highly criticized because she did not retire when she was battling what was clearly going to be a terminal illness, and she wanted to stay right to the end. Well, that carried her from a Democratic president into the administration of a Republican president, which became the occasion to flip that seat from a judicial activist to a textualist or an originalist, and her name was Amy Coney Barrett. And so she was criticized. So Stephen Breyer is kind of falling on his sword. Some say he's really not ready to retire, but anticipating the presidential and congressional politics and possible reversals beginning in this next midterm election for the Democratic Party, which would be crucial in a successful nomination of a judicial activist, well, he is being encouraged and I guess personally has agreed to go ahead and retiring early to open up the opportunity to secure an ideological progressive to be placed on the court, because there is a control of the Senate by the Democrats. At the moment, it's 50-50 Democrat and Republican for all intents and purposes. But because the Senate has as its president the vice president, and that is Kamala Harris, an avowed progressive also, they would seemingly have a majority vote if necessary. And then, of course, there is a rather slim majority now, but there is a majority of Democrats in the House of Representatives. So there's a distinct possibility that all of that is going to flip in the next election. So Stephen Breyer is following the advice in order to secure the longevity of an ideological progressive on the Supreme Court to go ahead and retire now. Elections have consequences. Out of this last election, in which the nominee of a party that has gone far left and embracing the progressive secular movement and the LGBTQ revolution, now you have a president who will bring a nomination that he has now defined as gender-specific. I want a female and an African-American. Now, the unspoken is that there would be another marker of his profile, and that would be a justice committed to judicial activism, which means the court acts more as lawmakers and reads laws into the Constitution rather than being judges who are determining in a present case what is the Constitution and what does the Constitution say from its original text to the issue. So that's where we are. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. before the midterm election. Having said that, remember, Stephen Breyer is now in place, and there are some very crucial cases on religious liberty and the sanctity of life and the possible overturning of Roe v. Wade that are now before this Supreme Court. And when those decisions are rendered, he will still be participating because he has announced his retirement at the end of this term, which would be in June or July, which historically are the 2 months in which the various decisions and rulings of the court of all the cases they are now hearing is presented to the public. And then he plans on retiring after that. So I would guess, as usual, he will probably be the author of a number of those opinions.
Harry, as a postscript to what we've been talking about today, it's interesting. CBN News is reporting that in California, apparently there are those who think that the Roe v. Wade decision will be pushed back to the states. The report says that California is moving to dramatically expand and fund the number of abortions performed in the state of California. Now, this report goes on to say that Governor Newsom is already planning basically to have a major industry of California. That major industry would be abortion.
California, and I think New York probably be thrown into this, are anticipating the possibility that Roe v. Wade would be overturned and the abortion issue likely will be sent back to the states. Well, you've got 18 to 25 states with laws ready to affirm that ruling if Roe v. Wade is overturned. But you not only have 20 to 24 states ready to maintain abortion, you have some that are wanting to embrace it and embed it into the culture of the state as an industry. So Governor Newsom and various pro-abortion organizations are saying, we can be the destination state for abortion. So they see this as a money maker that will bring streams of revenue. But the major stream of revenue is going to come from the taxpayer. Governor Newsom's cabinet is working on legislation and executive orders whereby the tax money of the state of California will be used to pay for the abortions, pay for their residents, and this will be the occasion to open up the floodgates of public money, taxpayer money, into the coffers of Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers and create a stream of revenue not only from the fees that will be charged and from the business it will bring to California, but also revenues from the taxpayers of the state of California and any federal tax money that can be sent to this endeavor. And now you see the state of California saying, hey, we can make California a destination for the genocide of preborn children. Tom, I am reminded again from a biblical world and life view. Number one, how deep is the darkness when we call the darkness light and the light darkness? And I am reminded of what the Bible records of God's wisdom when he gives the analysis of the depravity of man in the book of Genesis before the judgment of the flood, when the Lord declared that man has grieved him because the thoughts of his heart are only evil, always, continually. To the point, how can we make money off of the homicide of preborn children? That can become a great industry in this state, funded by the tax money that people are compelled to give to the state by law. And we'll turn that tax money loose to build this destination industry. Tom, it is really interesting how much we need God's grace, which is greater than sin. When you see how great sin is in its depravity and in its culture of death that it promotes, then how much more we in the Church of Christ need to proclaim the gospel of saving grace with the full knowledge that God's grace is even greater than our sin, even when that sin is embedded in the prophets of a society.
As we close out for today, let me remind you the best way to stay in touch with Harry Reader and Today in Perspective is by downloading the Briarwood app. It is available through your favorite app store. Simply type in Briarwood PCA. You'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will challenge and encourage your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. The app is yours at no cost. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.